Prayer ourselves before we study God's Word. Well, I give you a moment of silence to pray. Let me suggest that you tell God you want to learn His truth and that you want to seriously consider how it should shape your life. God, thank you for speaking to us. You are the Creator of everything. We so easily forget that. That you created this life. You created us. And so thank you for communicating to us through your word how you made this life to work. How you made it to be lived. You're not trying to burden us with your ways. You're trying to show us the way to true life. Eternal life and life here on this earth. So may we accept that and wrap our minds around your truth and wrap our lives around that truth as well. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Will you look down at the ground for a minute? Just look down and keep looking at the ground while I talk. Let the ground represent the world. It represents the humans around you and their thoughts about how to live. It represents your own thoughts about how to live. The ground represents the things happening in this life that cause you problems. It represents the things in the future that you worry about. Keep looking down and thinking about that. Now look up here. This is what God wants you to do. Look up at Him, represented by the cross, and His word of truth. His word and His wisdom is what you need for your life. God is the one that you need in order to overcome this world, to overcome the things that own you, to overcome the things that defeat you. That's what we're going to learn about today. So if you haven't already, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. We've been studying 1 Corinthians for a while, and in what we've studied, a problem was that Paul was trying to correct with the Corinthian Christians was twofold. They were wrongly siding with their favorite teachers and leaders, and it seems that some of those teachers were teaching them worldly things in their supposed wisdom. In today's section, Paul revisits that twofold problem, challenges the Christians to assess whether they've fallen into those problems and exhorts them to change with some final perspective on why they should change. The things that we need in this life are not found merely in humans and definitely not in human wisdom. Rather, what we really need for this life is found in God and God's wisdom. And so we need to look up. We need to look up at Him. And we need to look up at His word of truth. Please look at chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, while I read. No one should deceive himself. If anyone among you is thinking he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness from God's standpoint. For it is written, He is the one who seizes the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, that they are worthless. No one should deceive himself or herself. This is Paul's first exhortation of the passage, and it relates to the two exhortations that are still to come in the passage. We need to make sure that we are not deceiving ourselves. The Christians might have said that they had been misled by one of these teachers, but now they've learned from Paul the truth. So now if they stay thinking and living the wrong ways that they had been, then they were just misleading themselves. The wording invites self-assessment. Do you have the wrong perspective? Am I living wrong? So I want to encourage us to engage in some honest self-assessment. Because even if your particular circumstances are not the same as the Corinthians, you might find yourself making the same errors that led to their problems and are leading to different problems for you. And if you find yourself making those errors, will you allow yourself to be corrected by the perspective of the Word of God? This is for our own good. God is trying to help us get on the right path if we are off. Now, here's the first thing to assess. Is anyone thinking he or she is wise in this age? The key there is the words "in this age." This is talking about worldly wisdom. Do you think you've figured out all how to handle life? But your solutions, your ways of living are based only or mainly on how the culture thinks. Or just your own thinking. What seems wise to you? Maybe you don't think you have life all figured out. Maybe you're struggling with life and you realize you don't have it figured out, but the only or main things that you're applying to your life as solutions are still just based on what the culture thinks or just your own thinking that seems wise to you. Maybe you think that's all that you have access to for solutions. If that is you, then the Apostle Paul says, on behalf of God, you must become foolish to really become wise. In other words, you must start to consider what you've thought was wise, if that is wisdom of the world and what makes sense to you, consider that as actually foolish. We have to do that so that we can be open to true wisdom, which is God's wisdom. And not just open to His wisdom, but finally come to solely depend on His wisdom. I'm willing to bet that most of us here have a mixture where there's things in our lives where we're totally dependent on God, and there's things in our lives where we're kind of, and things where we're not at all. And even that, you know what we often do? It's we who determines which ones we're going to listen to Him on, whichever we think makes sense. And so really, all we're doing when we agree with God is we're saying, yes, You are giving me the wisdom that I already had. Thank You very much. And when we don't think what He says matches what we say and we don't like it that much, we go, thank You very much, God, I'll do this one my way. And today, this is inviting us, urging us to finally come to solely depend on His wisdom in everything. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness from God's standpoint. For it is written, He is the one who seizes the wise in their craftiness. God is the creator of the universe. He's the creator of the world. He's the creator of human beings. He's the creator of this life we live. Are you getting the picture? He is the creator of everything. He made it. And from His standpoint, which if we think about it like that, is really the only standpoint that should matter, the supposed wisdom of the world is foolishness. If we want to be truly wise, we must see things that way. And if we do, we will completely move away from the world's wisdom in every way, on every topic, and move toward trusting God's wisdom, God's ways, in everything. Paul used a quote from Job 5 to support his point. And by quoting Old Testament passages here, he quotes two of them, I think it demonstrates that things have always been this way, that people have always thought they were wise, and yet the wisdom of the world has always been foolishness according to God. The whole Job passage, the context that it's in, it contrasts the way of the fool versus seeking the Lord. And not just fools, but the natural way of people generally leads to trouble in our lives. And so instead, we should seek God. Job 5, it talks about God does great things. God has power over all the earth. God can protect people. God can thwart the wicked. God can help even those who don't have much to help themselves. And then from the specific part of Job that Paul quoted, I think this is the point. Paul, or people who have many resources and supposed wisdom, tend to try to make things happen, try to work things out on their own. That's what craftiness means. Use your resources, anything at your disposal to just work things out, make it happen. And it says God seizes those who think they are wise in their craftiness. And seizing pictures like grabbing somebody by the arm, grabbing them by the hand to like pull them back. On a regular basis as a parent, I tell my kids how to do something. And then often they go about doing it their own way, not the way I told them. And occasionally they're going to really mess something up or they're going to hurt themselves. As they're moving toward doing that thing, I grab them by the arm and I stop them. And I might say, you don't know what you're doing. Listen to me. Do it the way that I told you to do it. That's what God is saying to us, His children. You don't know what you're doing. Listen to me. Do it the way I'm telling you to do it. Do life the way I'm telling you to do it. He's telling us the world doesn't know what it's doing. You need to listen to me. God's people should not just use whatever resources and human wisdom to try to make things happen, but instead we should seek God and His wisdom. Can you truly say that you look to God's wisdom based on God's Word and the leading of His Spirit for how to live every aspect, every detail of your life? If not, if you're not at least trying to give yourself toward that, then stop misleading yourself in whatever aspect that is. Consider the world's wisdom and even your own wisdom as foolishness. And look to God's wisdom for every aspect of your life. There's another Old Testament quote in verse 20, which is from Psalm 94. The Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, that they are worthless. The word reasoning there refers to a way of thinking. The way of thinking of the supposedly wise is actually worthless. Psalm 94, the greater context that this quote is from, speaks of God being the Creator, the one who corrects the nations and teaches humans knowledge. Compared to God, His power, His ability, His knowledge, people's supposed wisdom and way of thinking is worthless. That word worthless means they don't really get you anywhere truly good in life. Merely human ways of thinking don't have the ability to get us anywhere truly good in life. But God has the ability to lead us into truly good things. God is the Creator of everything. He has all knowledge and all wisdom. And we have access to Him through through Christ, because we are in Christ and we have access to His Word, His written Word, and we have access to His Holy Spirit if we listen. Why would we not take advantage of that? Because we're so focused on our lives and our worlds and our problems, we need to look up. Take advantage of all those things that are being offered to us. If you're not, you should. There's another exhortation. Look at verses 21 through 23. So then, no one should boast in people, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things are yours, and you all are of Christ, and Christ is of God. The exhortation is, no one should boast in any mere humans. What prompted him to say this was the Corinthian Christians picking their favorite teachers and leaders and boasting that they were followers. I'm a follower of such and such leader. Now, you may not be doing that particular thing that the Corinthians were, but we can still learn from the principles that are given here. What Paul said in chapter 1 when he first addressed this issue was, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. That you're in the Lord. Basically, if we're going to be proud of something, it should be that we're in Christ the Lord. What Paul says here in chapter 3 is very similar, but he expands upon it, and it's pretty cool how he expands upon it. The reason we shouldn't identify ourselves with mere humans and boast about that is, all things are yours. All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is of God. Basically, what he's saying is, you need to realize that you have bigger, better things than human leaders. All things are yours, and you all are of Christ, and Christ is of God. We tend to settle for too little. In the first part of this section, we're encouraged that we shouldn't look to human wisdom because we have access to God's wisdom. And here we're encouraged that we shouldn't belong to human leaders because we belong to Christ. And in Him we have access to God and all things. That is big. Let's stop settling for so little when we have access to the God of the universe who controls and owns everything. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All things are yours. The Corinthians were saying things like, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. I belong to that leader. We don't belong to any human leader. Rather, we are all of Christ. And by the Lord, servants and leaders are put in place to build us up in Christ. The teachers are there to give us God's Word, not their own wisdom. The teachers are there for us to help us grow toward Christ and toward following Christ. What did he mean that these other things are ours? I'm not sure. Not sure exactly what he intended. I mean, if we look into the whole New Testament, the whole Bible, we could develop a whole theology around any one of these. And I think that's what he might have actually been prompting them. Like, hey, if you don't understand this, you need to get into God's Word. I'm not sure if Paul planned for the Corinthians to fully understand. He may have just wanted them to be in awe and wonder that would draw them in. Realizing that, like, if you don't understand, you need to pull in. What seems to be the main point is, if these things are ours in Christ, then we are not owned or ruled by them. Think about that. These are all things that might seem to control or intimidate us. The world, this life, death, the events of the present, what is coming in the future. Any of those things freak you out? Any of those things control you? Any of those things intimidate you? None of these things that might seem to control or intimidate us are supposed to control us or own us or dictate to us or intimidate us. Rather, we are owned by Christ. And in Him, all these things are ours somehow. So things that formerly might have ruled us, we are to reject their rule and draw close to Christ. Because in Christ, all these things are ours. Most of us need to seek after bigger things than what we do seek after. The things that we think about each day tend to be so petty. The things that rule us and preoccupy our minds shouldn't. Instead, we need to draw into Christ and gain dominion over some of the things that dominate us. The very beginning of the Bible, when humans were first created, God didn't give the world to dominate us. He gave us to have dominion over the world. Christ is inviting us back in. He's made us a new creation. He's inviting us back in to what He created us for. Not to be dominated, but to have dominion over this life. We need to draw into Christ and gain proper, big picture perspective about life. And we get that from God's truth. Everything belongs to God. Nothing lies outside of His control or His wisdom. And in Christ, we have access to that God. We have access to the Word of God. And through that, He is offering us the goodness of God. We need to look up to Him. We need to draw into Him and get from God. We talked about this weeks ago. God has, it's pictured as like this treasure trove of stuff that God has that He owns, that He wants to bring into our lives. It's like He's holding it out, offering us it to us. But we have to be willing to receive it from Him. We receive it through His written Word when we receive the truth that is there. And we receive it through following His Holy Spirit's leading, who is in each of us who is a Christian, and He's trying to lead us. We receive the good things that He's trying to do in our lives when we say yes and follow His leading. Now, this doesn't negate the usefulness of human teachers and leaders. They are one of the things that God has given for the good of His people. They're right there in the list in 22, that they're one of the things that belong to you all as the teachers and leaders to help you. But any human leader that is going to be helpful to us needs to get from God and give to us. Any human leader that is going to be helpful to us needs to get from God's Word of truth and give you His truth, needs to get from the leading of the Spirit to help lead you. And so the human leaders should help point us to Christ and help get us access to what God is offering us. Life can seem so tough, so overwhelming. And so we are all searching for solutions in life. The world offers solutions according to its supposed wisdom. And we may be tempted to latch onto that because we feel like there's nothing else, or because we'll just accept anything that might help. But I'm telling you, this Word is telling you that we need to not be ensnared by that any longer. We need to not be led off the path by that any longer in our attempts to solve our problems. We need to look to the One who is over everything, who has all wisdom, God. We have access to Him and His wisdom in Christ. There's no reason that we should be looking to just whatever to solve our problems. We have God. We need to get that through our heads finally, once and for all. He's there. And His wisdom is right here. And if you're in Christ, His Spirit is right here in you. Not far away. Not hard to find. You have it. We need to draw near to Him and learn His Word and get His perspective, His truth, and take that to our problems. Take that to our lives. Christian teachers can help us with that, but only as they are looking to Christ and teaching God's Word. When I grab one of my kids by the arm and pull them back from danger or from foolishness, I usually say, "Look at me." And we stand there face to face, and I say, "Listen. And I tell them what's right, what's good, the mistake that they were making, how to correct it. God is trying to grab each of us, His child, by the arm and pull us back from running into foolishness and worthlessness that's getting us nowhere. And He's trying to get us to stop being owned and dominated by the things of this world. And He's trying to get us to look at Him, seek His face, and listen to Him. Will you seek His face and listen to Him about everything? What questions do you have about this passage or topics that it might have brought up for you? So what's the best way to know if you're following God's wisdom, basically? And specifically when something's not in the Bible. So God has given us three resources, okay? Let me frame this a little bit for you. When Jesus was on earth, all these resources were in Him, okay? So the disciples were walking, literally walking around following Jesus, right? And He's teaching them, He's leading them, and now Jesus is gone. And He said it was a good thing that He leaves. And I think the reason for that He says it was a good thing He was leaving, was because He wasn't just going to have a few dozen followers anymore. It's going to turn into trillions. And so He needed a way to have the trillions of people that are going to follow Him all over the earth be able to actually like follow Him around, but He couldn't do that in His human body. So He left three resources to replace Him: the Holy Spirit, the written word, and the church. I don't think it's any accident that the New Testament calls us the body of Christ. That's not just an analogy. He does use it as an analogy, like imagine the human body, a bunch of parts, and each one has a different function. He uses it as an analogy, but He also uses it elsewhere and just says, you're the body of Christ. In other words, your church is part of the presence of Christ in your life. So you can seek wisdom from these people. When we don't know all what these other two things are doing, maybe I should have gone the other way, but when we don't know clearly from these other two things, talk to the church. Maybe they have leading from the Holy Spirit, or they know the Word in a way that we don't. Make sense? So the next thing is the written Word of God. We've got it right here. So this doesn't give us every answer to every situation that we'll face. Like, it doesn't tell us which job to choose if we're choosing from three. But I do believe that I have yet, in all my years of walking with Christ, a couple decades, I have yet to find a situation where there's not a principle in the Bible that helps me with whatever situation I'm facing. So at very least, in principle, we've got help in the Bible. That may be where we need, you know, the body of Christ to come back in and help us to find, you know, what those principles are and think through what principles do apply to the situation I'm facing, right? So we've got the church, the written Word of God, and then we've got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can tell us those specific circumstances, the specific choice in those circumstances. So let's say we're choosing a job. We've referenced the written Word of God, and it's ruled out, say, one of the jobs. Like, hey, that one's immoral. We shouldn't do that one, but we've still got two left. The Holy Spirit can tell you that's the one. So we pray and we seek Him and ask Him to guide us to that. And all these other people that trust Christ have the Holy Spirit also. And so go to them. Godly people who have the Spirit and know the Word and seek their counsel. And so those three things can come together and guide us in every decision. And we might, you know, just in practicality, we might do a little bit less of that on what seems like smaller decisions and do more of that on things that seem like bigger decisions. He says it twice. That's all things. I don't want to answer it because, like, I could give a long answer. I could go into each one of those and literally talk for an hour biblically about each one of those. But I think that's exactly what Paul, I don't want to answer it because I think that's actually what Paul was trying to do. To stand up here and interpret all those things, I think would miss the point. Because I think what he was trying to do is blow their mind. He's trying to, like, rock their worldview where they're so focused on this world and this earth and people and people's wisdom and all that stuff. And he's trying to get them to pull off of that and pull into God and his truth. And so I think he's trying to make them go, what? All things are mine. What does that mean? And Paul goes, exactly. Get into his word and you'll learn what all these things mean. And that's why I could talk about each one of these for an hour is because each one of them is talked about in here extensively about how somehow these are our things. We're going to, just for one, it says the world is yours, right? We're going to inherit this earth, the Bible says. When Christ comes again, we're going to inherit this earth, Christians, his people. We're going to judge angels. That's not in the list, but just these are kind of mind-blowing things that the New Testament tells us. And I think Paul is trying to draw them into that and say, you don't know his word. Get into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's trying to change their perspective, get them to stop looking just down at the earth and look up to God and his wisdom and his word. Let's pray together to apply what we learned today. First, if you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord, Master, and the one who can give you eternal life, the only one who can give you eternal life, that's your first step to coming to God. Through Christ is how we have access to all the things that God has to offer. He's the only way. And so if you haven't trusted Jesus, you can trust Him right now. He hears you, even in your thoughts. Just tell Jesus that you want to trust Him. And for all of us in Christ right now, will you tell Him that you want to stop fooling around with the wisdom of the world and you want to seek His wisdom in every aspect of your life? And will you tell Him you want to stop being owned and intimidated by the things of the world and you want to draw into Him and find out how to overcome all that? Jesus, I thank you and I praise you that we have all these things through you, us who are in Christ, have everything. You're restoring us back to the way that God created things to be. God, may each of us step into that. Heaven is awesome, and I'm so thankful that you've given us that by your sacrifice on the cross. But I know that there is so much more. And so would we not even just settle for heaven? But would we draw into you, God, and find out all that's really there for us, that our good Heavenly Father has for us, His children, in Christ? Pray these things in Jesus' name, and all those who agreed said, Amen.